Welcome to the all-access version of the ProWrestling.net podcast. Today is Saturday, February 20th. This is Jason Powell here with Rich Twilling for an audio preview of the WWE Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, which is coming up on Sunday night. Rich, this should be a fairly quick audio update.
I think so.
Yeah, in the interest of full disclosure, we're actually recording this on Friday, and at this time, WWE has only bothered to give us four matches for this show. First off, Rich, do you see this? You know, you've got the Royal Rumble in January, which usually does a strong buy rate. You got WrestleMania, which usually does a strong buy rate. Where does Elimination Chamber fit in on this? Do you think this is a suitable show for, you know, the kind of the in-between the two big ones?
I think so. Last year, they have title implications with the two Elimination Chamber matches. They set up WrestleMania main events with those matches. And if the renaming of the pay-per-views last year was any indication, then this one being renamed from No Way Out should do a higher buy rate than last year's did. So I think it's just fine where it is.
I'm not a fan of it. I think that, you know, I've talked in .NET member audio about this, and so I'll just kind of breeze through it here. But one of the things I don't like about the Elimination Chamber concept, I don't think we need two matches. I don't like that there are a Raw.
I agree with you there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't like there's a Raw and SmackDown version of it. I think that they'd be better off. I think it would be more appealing to people if they had the winner of the Royal Rumble announce who he's going to face, and then they have one Elimination Chamber match on this show for the right to move on to face the winner or the champion of the other brand that the Royal Rumble winner is not going to face. And they don't do it that way.
No.
That said, you know, I think that, I guess before I move on, they're going to have a tough time with this one. I really think they are. I think I don't sense a lot of anticipation for this pay-per-view. I don't think the build on Raw has been all that great. I think they've been, you know, focusing more on, not entirely, but a lot of focus has been on Bret Hart and Vince McMahon, which you're not getting on this show. A lot of focus has been on Batista and John Cena, which I don't, you know, think we're going to, you know, we might get something, but there's no advertised match. And then also the whole Undertaker Shawn Michaels thing. It's like everything is building toward Mania, and none of the major things that they've been hyping really seem to be playing out on this show. I think it will.
Yeah.
Ultimately, you know, there's going to be stuff on this show that leads to it. I just don't feel like they've done a good job of really getting that point across. And I think another thing, as we talked about in .NET Weekly on Friday, that another thing they need to be a little bit concerned about is the fact that I think they're going to do a dismal buy rate in Canada, because it's like, you know, damn near Canadian Super Bowl day with Team USA playing Team Canada in a big Olympic hockey matchup on Sunday night. If it's me, I would have found, you know, I would have planned ahead for that and thought, well, what better way to get Canadians to order, you know, give them a tough decision, maybe put Bret Hart on the show.
Bret Hart on the show, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not saying you have him wrestle, but you get him on the show. I don't know, maybe I'm over, I just know hockey is so damn popular in Canada. Maybe I'm a little more concerned about it than I need to be, but
I don't know, anything helps, though. So that's a good point. And I think your point about the overall Elimination Chamber makes some sense there in terms of having the two championship matches. I don't necessarily agree with that either. Although it is kind of hard to sell a pay-per-view without putting titles on the line. But at the same time,
into the
funk. I'm sorry?
Into the funk.
Oh, sorry. If you look at the storyline right now, you have Edge, who's already going to WrestleMania. And he's not a champion, but he won the Royal Rumble, so that makes sense. But then you have the two champions, you have Sheamus and The Undertaker, that have to defend in the Elimination Chamber in a match where the odds are pretty much stacked against them, because they have to beat five other guys, basically. And so storyline-wise, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense that both champions have to defend, whereas the guy challenging at WrestleMania just gets to sit back and watch. So I do hear what you're saying there. But at the same time, you still have to sell the pay-per-view and build the WrestleMania at the same time. So I can see both sides of it.
Yeah, for me, it's just I go with, you know, that one big Elimination Chamber match. I hype the fact that it is.
Or a number one contendership. I like that.
Yeah. And I hype the hell out of the fact that, you know, number one, it's for a shot at a title at WrestleMania, and that it's an intra-brand match where you get, you know, three guys from Raw, three guys from SmackDown, however you want to do it. And, you know, I really make a fuss over that, too. And then there's nothing stopping them from having title matches on the show if they want to. I'm not a fan of title changes this close to WrestleMania. I think we're going to get one Sunday, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But, there's nothing stopping them from having Sheamus face, you know, somebody who's not advertised. I would have really made a big fuss. I think they're crazy for giving away Edge's in-ring return on SmackDown. I would have saved it for Mania, but if nothing, you know, if they wanted to get him in the ring sooner, I save it for this show and make a big fuss over that. And I wouldn't be, you know, maybe my guess is we probably will get Edge and maybe Batista in a rematch or something. I don't know how it's going to work. And by the time, like I say, by the time most people hear this, or by the time everybody hears
it, they might add a match or two. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that much might be official. But let's work on what we have here. We'll start from the bottom and work our way up. Gail Kim versus Maryse for the vacant Divas Championship. Rich, I can't say I give a damn.
I can't say I do either. The only thing that intrigues me about this is Maryse's current character, where she's obviously a heel and she's very cocky and everything like that, but she was bad-mouthing the heels Divas on SmackDown and was talking about that kind of stuff, brand loyalty and everything like that. And so her character kind of intrigues me a little bit, but I'm guessing she turns heel again, I guess, or just remains heel and wins this match and wins the title.
Yeah, I mean, everything she's saying in French is heel. You know, she's baby-facing Gail in English and then bad-mouthing her in French. That's been the gimmick of her current character. A lot of people are making a fuss over the fact that she is, you know, bringing up Michelle McCool and Mickey James. And it could be a couple of different things. I think it could be as simple as it, you know, that's one way that they've chosen just to get this point across that she's trying to make about how, you know, in English she doesn't want this to be like as heated as it got with them. They just, you know, let's go out there and have a good competitive match, and then she buries him in French. It could also be they're trying to, you know, they're planting the seeds for some kind of intra-brand match at WrestleMania. We know that when it comes to the women, they usually have some big throwaway match to get them all on the show. So might be related to that. I'm with you in assuming that Maryse wins the championship. You know, she's been the one that they've really spotlighted throughout this tournament. And Gail Kim, it frustrates me WWE doesn't do more with her. We've seen what she can do in TNA. Mm-hmm. But I'm fine if they don't give her the title here, because I'd rather see her. I think that the key, it's not her time to be a champion. I think it would be almost a disservice to her, because if you take the time and you know, establish Maryse, who is more established right now with WWE fans, because she just has an actual character, where Gail Kim is just, she's Gail Kim. Yeah. But so if you give Maryse the championship, you put Gail in chase mode and you start putting a little more spotlight on her, letting her develop an actual character, then maybe down the road this can actually click. And
I could see that. I could also see them not caring so much and just making this a throwaway title match and making the entire division throw away like they have been lately, too. So I can see both sides playing out.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all just assume it's going to be another, you know, four-minute throwaway Divas match. I hope it's not. I hope this isn't the time where they finally say, all right, we got, you know, limited number of matches advertised. Let's, and we've got Gail Kim, who we know can go out there and tear the house down and is one of the more consistent in-ring performers. She hasn't really shown all that on WWE like she did in TNA. But, let's give him a chance. And,
yeah.
But I don't have my hopes up. But I do think Maryse wins this thing either way.
Okay. Next we have, and I'll skip to the Intercontinental Championship match, even though it's not listed that way, but we have champion Drew McIntyre versus Kane. I'm guessing with the two undercard title matches, if the card remains as is, I think we have to get another match, because if it remains as is, then the Elimination Chambers have to go about an hour apiece, if not longer. And that's going to be hard to do. But anyway, Drew McIntyre versus Kane.
I think Drew McIntyre retains here. It seems like every year around this time, WWE gets in this weird mode where they push Kane for a couple of months. I don't know if it's like written in his contract where, hey, every, you know, March we're going to, every, you know, February, March, April, you have to push Kane in some significant manner. But it seems like it plays out that way. It's never, you know, too over the top. They don't go too far with it, but they seem to do a little something with them now. I don't mind, you know, a lot of people are kind of down on this match. I don't think it's going to be a great in-ring performance or anything like that. It's not going to be a five-star classic, but it, if it's done correctly, it gives McIntyre a little bit of rub. He gets to go in there, and you would assume that he's going to beat Kane somehow, some way, and retain the title. I think the key is how it comes across. Is it, you know, some cheap way? If it's done in a meaningful manner, I think it can mean a little something. Kane still possesses, maybe star power is not the right word, but he still matters. He's still
over enough to where a win against him does mean something. So
like I said, not a five star classic, but if it's done properly, McIntyre can get something out of this.
And I've got Drew McIntyre winning also, and I agree with everything you said. I think Kane is one of those guys that no matter what kind of program they put him in or how stupid they make him look or how many times they switch him from face to heel and vice versa, he's a guy that is over with the crowd, and so a win against him does matter, and it does mean something. So this would be something good for Drew if he wins it cleanly, which I hope he does, and I think he retains regardless, so we'll see what happens.
And let's talk about the Raw version of the Elimination Chamber. We've got, obviously, Sheamus defending the championship. We've got some star power in this match with John Cena, Randy Orton, and Triple H involved. And then two guys that they really didn't do much for heading into this match, like I hope they would, Kofi Kingston and Ted DiBiase. Do you expect them to do anything with those two in this match, or are they going to be the first two eliminated?
You know what? Just based on the fact that they seem to do what I don't expect from time to time, I think both of them will actually shine in the match and do something kind of good. But then I could see maybe Randy Orton, the first one, being eliminated. But other than that, it's going to end up being Cena, Triple H, and Sheamus at the end. So
I'd love to think they're going to do – for the longest time, I assumed that this was going to be Ted's babyface moment. But, you know, now you don't really see a definitive direction for Ted. And meanwhile, it's like they're showing us that they're certainly testing the water for a Randy Orton babyface turn. So you kind of have to wonder what's going on, where they're going to go with Ted. I think we're going to get some fireworks between those two either way in this match. I just don't know. You know, I assume when in January, before they went through with Sheamus versus Orton in the heel versus heel match and really, you know, made Orton out to be the babyface of the two or let the crowd decide that, I would have assumed that, okay, if you're going to put these two in the Elimination Chamber, then Ted's the guy who eliminates Randy to really launch a program between them with Randy as the heel and Ted as the babyface. But now everything just kind of seems cloudy. I guess they could still go in that direction
it's
if they
hard
want
to get
to.
There at this point, yeah.
You know, they can, but Orton, I mean, we just saw again on Monday night, he was in there with Sheamus and he hasn't changed his character, but he's not. They're not portraying him as the all-out heel in the sense that, he's the babyface in that program with Sheamus, it seems like, and it's because the crowd has made him that. But I don't know that we're going to get that shining moment for Ted. I'm intrigued by it. I want to see how they do it, but I don't know that it's as obvious as it once seemed.
Unfortunately, I think they stumbled upon this Randy Orton babyface turn, and it's going to hurt Ted DiBiase, in my opinion. I think as a result, he's not going to be able to turn babyface against Orton and get that big program with him. And I think if they do Orton versus DiBiase with Orton as the babyface, which it looks like they are going to do, at least in my opinion, it doesn't do the same for DiBiase as it would have the other way around. So I really don't know how they get to that point in this match. If DiBiase eliminates Orton, then he's probably going to get babyface pops out of that, but unless he does it in a way that he gets booed. But, I'm curious to see how they do that too, actually. So.
Yeah, and I think I'm with you, and I assume it's going to come down to the big three. But, maybe they will surprise us, like you say, and maybe they'll give Kofi a little something in this match. I guess we should point out that last year, as Kofi was headed to the ring, he was taken out from behind by Edge, and they've been reminding us that Kofi didn't get the Elimination Chamber, but they keep stopping short of telling us that it was Edge who did it, which obviously, that you know, if there's not a bigger clue as far as whether Edge is a babyface or a heel.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, that's exactly it. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and by not telling us, that means they want us to forget that Edge was this dastardly villain, and he's the guy who took out Kofi, and I think Kofi gets in there this time around. I just don't see – I think it would be fun if they sent, like, a Miz out there or somebody like that to try to recreate that moment, and this time Kingston fights him off.
Yeah, they could do something like that, but maybe they don't even care enough to do something like that, so –
I hope they do. You know, I think it would be kind of fun where, you know, just any heel. I hope they don't go too comedy with it and have it be Santino. But, you know, just some, one of the heels comes out there and tries to take a spot, and it just doesn't work this time. But I think we both feel like the big dogs are the, you know, I don't see Orton winning it. So I think that leaves Triple H, Cena, and Sheamus. My pick in this is Sheamus to retain. I just don't want to see that title change hands as close to WrestleMania. I know some people will feel like Sheamus isn't over enough to warrant a title match at Mania, but I think that's the key, is keeping it on him and continuing to build him up.
That's how you get him over, yes.
Yeah, you know, they haven't been giving him major wins on television or anything like that, so it's almost like they're just taking that slow build approach with him, and I think if it's done properly – he can mean something at Mania, and my guess is that somehow, some way, in this match, they set up Triple H versus Sheamus for Mania, because it certainly looks like Cena's occupied with Batista. You know, Orton's a dark horse, but we've seen that match on free TV and on pay-per-view now, so it's kind of hard to think that they're going to go right back to that match for Mania. I just, please tell me they're not going to do a triple threat.
Yeah, I hope they don't either. And I think you hit on the point there. The bigger picture here is, how are they going to get to the Mania match between, if we think it's going to be Triple H versus Sheamus, how are they going to get there? Because I also think Sheamus is going to win and retain in this match. But how are they going to have him win this match but make Triple H look good enough to warrant getting a rematch in a one-on-one match at WrestleMania? So that's the big key to me.
Yeah, that one is puzzling. I don't know how they do that. They have something good and creative in mind for the finish of this match that's going to naturally set that up and make people want to see a rematch. But I think on the Raw side of things, they have their work cut out for them as far as building up that title match.
I think so, too. And I think if they don't do it in this match, if they maybe did something where they did a short little tournament or some kind of way to establish a number one contender after the pay-per-view, they have to really rush into that. So hopefully they have a good finish in mind for the pay-per-view.
Yeah, we're getting closer to Mania than it feels like, aren't we? You know,
we are. You have to set up that title picture a lot sooner than it seems like they're doing with this show, so we'll see.
Mania's on the 28th of the month, and there's only 28 days in February, and here we are on the 20th already, so Mania's right around the corner, and so I think this is a key match. Like I say, I think if you enjoy the road to WrestleMania and you order this show, it's going to build toward Mania in a good way. But my overall feeling on the show remains that they just didn't make it feel like it was all that important in the build-up for Elimination Chamber, as far as like it really being a big part of the road to Mania.
I think so, too. And I think they need to establish that in the future as more – you know, part of the road to WrestleMania, because this is the pay-per-view they're going to have before Mania every year now. So really establish the Chamber as a very big deal. I mean, to me, I didn't get that impression from them either.
So when Michael Cole spends the entire show talking about the, I can't even remember the exact term he used, basically implying that it's bulletproof glass, who's the guy who makes him look like an idiot this year by crashing through the plexiglass?
I'm going to say Sheamus. I can see Sheamus, like, maybe kicking, like, bicycle kicking somebody through it or something like that.
I laugh at that every year. They make
or maybe Batista spears somebody or something. Maybe Batista sneaks in there and spears John Cena or something like that. So.
But every year they do it. They, you know, it's bulletproof glass or whatever, Lexus, something or other they use for the term. And it started with Goldberg, you know, plowing through it. It's like, really? Come on. We can tell it's plexiglass. It's just like,
and when Goldberg did it, if I recall correctly, it broke like in one big piece. It's almost like he bent it in half. It didn't shatter or anything like that. So that was funny.
Yeah, I don't know why they even bothered to claim it's bulletproof glass. But what are you going
to
do?
They like to make Michael Cole look stupid. So.
And they don't have to try hard, do they?
I guess not. So we both have Sheamus retaining, and we're both confused and wondering as to how they're going to get to the Mania match.
Yeah.
With the Raw side. Okay.
Intrigued by that part more than anything. I was going to say this is the more intriguing of the two matchups. I guess it's the match where I expect a title change, and there could be a surprise moment here. A lot of us expect Chris Jericho to win the championship in this match to set up a match with Edge at WrestleMania. It's been talked about, and they've done subtle teases to Edge and Jericho ever since Edge got hurt. I think that the potential surprise here, I'll give you the match and then the potential surprise, but it's Undertaker defending the World Heavyweight Championship against John Morrison, CM Punk, Chris Jericho, Rey Mysterio, and R-Truth. They've been doing this ankle injury storyline with John Morrison on SmackDown now for a couple of weeks. By the time you're listening to this, that continued on Friday night. And we know that Shawn Michaels did that lobbying session with Teddy Long, pleading with him to put him in the match. Do you think we get Shawn as a replacement for Morrison?
I think we do. I definitely think we do. And I think as predictable as this is, I don't really see any other way that can go with this. I mean, I guess there's a couple ways that can go with it, but I see Michaels is going to be in that match, and he's going to have his sights set on The Undertaker, and he's going to sweep him, music him, and allow Jericho to pin him and win the title. So, and then Undertaker will be forced to take a match with Michaels at Mania.
Yeah, I think at that point, I don't know if he's forced as much as he wants that match at Mania. I think that's the key, is at some point, Taker's going to have to want this match just as badly as Shawn Michaels does. I think that's how they'll end up building it up.
Because he cost him the title, and yeah, so
The trick is, I guess the first thing I want to say about that whole thing, if it does play out that way, and maybe they're doing it to tease us with it, and then they don't deliver. Morrison ends up going out there and working the match, and Shawn's left frustrated, and that sets up him interfering somehow, some way. I don't know how you do it in Elimination Chamber, but I guess, they open the door to let these eliminated people out. Maybe that's when Shawn comes in. If you're going to put Shawn Michaels in this match and you've got you have this star power, I guess if it's me, I don't really know how you would set it up storyline-wise, but I might want, given everything we're talking about, the lack of interest in this show as far as, and I think people are interested enough that they're going to follow along online and things like that and look forward to finding out how it plays out, but I don't know that if they've done a great job of selling people and actually ordering
the show. Buy it, yeah.
So wouldn't you advertise Shawn Michaels if you're going to put him in the match?
I would think so. And I didn't read the spoilers tonight, but so I don't know. But, yeah, I would do it tonight. I'd get him in there somehow.
I remember it's tomorrow by the time people are listening to this.
I would have done it last night.
So I can tell you they didn't do that. They did have, it's another ankle injury moment for Morrison, but unless there's something in the announcing, which I don't think there is, they haven't added Shawn to this match, so I think it would be a last-minute type of thing on Sunday. And maybe they'll do it online, but, I think we all know that you can get something out of the online last-minute stuff, but it's – you're more likely to get a real return on that if you do it on television as opposed to on the WWE website.
If you retire Shawn Michaels for the show, then more people are going to buy the show as a result. So I'm surprised they didn't do it that way.
I think another one to watch in this, there's been a lot of buzz that they set up, or that they're leading to a CM Punk versus Rey Mysterio match at Mania, potential hair versus mask if they choose to go in that direction. So I think they'll probably, if they are going to go with that match, then you would think this would be a time to set that up somehow, some way. I don't know where R-Truth really fits into this match. My guess is that he's eliminated fairly quickly. Whether Shawn is in there or not, I think the thing I'm curious to see is if they do put the title on Jericho, how do they eliminate Taker?
I'm assuming Shawn is more obsessed with getting to Taker than he is winning the match, and so he hits him with sweet chin music, just maybe right when he gets eliminated or something like that.
Here's the flaw in that argument, because in order to get Taker at Mania, Shawn needs to win this match in the storyline sense. We all know they're going to get there somehow, some way, but he can't be so obsessed with Taker that, you know, I mean, that needs to be his focus, is winning this match somehow.
Well, maybe he gets eliminated by somebody. I'd rather it not be Taker, because I want to see that physical interaction kept to a minimum.
Right.
But maybe he gets eliminated, and then he just loses it and starts taking everybody out, including Undertaker.
Yeah, I think that's one of the keys of this match, if they do add Shawn. And it's a big if. We don't know. I mean, a lot of speculation, but we don't know for sure. If they do add Shawn, somehow, some way, they need to keep those two apart. And, you know, Shawn can hit Taker with the sweet chin music or whatever it's going to take to eliminate Taker somehow, some way. But I don't want to see them lock up before Mania. And I'd be really surprised if they saw that. So look for, you know, Taker's pretty beat up physically. Either way, I expect him to be in that pod for, you know, until one of the last, if not the last guy, then the second to last guy. I don't think you're going to see a ton of Taker in this match either way. Or, you know, he starts it and he gets eliminated quickly, something like that. But I don't expect to see a ton of Taker in this match, and I'd be really surprised and disappointed if we got a lot of Taker and Shawn in there together, if it does go that way.
I'd be very surprised to see that, too. And like I said, if Shawn gets eliminated, then he knows at that point, the only chance he has to face Taker Mania is if Taker does not retain, so they can maybe play off that storyline too.
Sure. Are you with me in thinking it's a Jericho title win here?
I do. And I was going to ask you too, with Jericho winning this one and Sheamus winning the other one, do you think there's any chance that that's not the case in either match?
You know, there's always a chance. It's. I mean, hell, it's Vince McMahon. He could change his mind on Sunday morning, and you know, if they've had whatever they have planned, he could completely change it on Sunday. It wouldn't be the first time something like that has happened with him. But you know, I think
wouldn't make a lot of sense here though, because they seem to set everything up pretty nicely for Mania, at least on the SmackDown side, with Jericho and Edge and with Taker and Michaels. And so, I'd be surprised if they went with somebody besides Jericho winning this thing.
I would too, but keep in mind this is WWE. They don't like when what they perceive as surprises get out there, even though it's not really leaked information as much as it is just conventional wisdom or assumption.
Speculation, yeah.
Yeah, that it's going to happen, and we've seen it. We've seen them change finishes in the past because of that. I really hope it doesn't happen here. I think that Edge and Jericho can have a great match at Mania. I think, I can't say I'm excited about Hunter challenging Sheamus, but that has more to do with Hunter and my boredom with Hunter at WrestleMania and the title picture every year than it does with Sheamus.
I'd be okay with that if Sheamus won that match clean.
Sure.
I mean, in hindsight, after the fact, but... other than that, yeah, I'm not too thrilled about that either. But, you know, if Sheamus wins that match, I'll be okay with it.
I'd like to see that happen, but I think you and I both know I don't hold your breath on that one. I think it'd be one way to really cement Sheamus. But, and I know Hunter's lost at Mania before, but I just have a – you know what? To see Sheamus get the clean pin on Hunter at Mania, but I think that might be one situation where I'd settle for a cheap finish just to keep the damn title on Sheamus and off of Hunter.
And especially since that won't be the last match on the show, or at least it shouldn't be, then you can get away with a cheap finish with a championship match at Mania earlier in the show than you could if it was the last match. So.
Right. You know, any other closing comments before we wrap this up?
The only thing I've got to say is that they better put something else on the show, because with four matches, and one of them being a women's match, and they never go more than 10 minutes, I mean, they really are going to have trouble filling the 2 hours and 50 minutes here. So.
Yeah, I think they will. I mean, there has been a lot of rumors about Edge and Batista on this show. That could be one. They certainly teased.
I'd be very surprised if... I mean, not surprised, but I'd be disappointed if they put Michaels in the Elimination Chamber and they had an Edge versus Batista match and didn't advertise any of those three guys like going into the show.
Believe me, I'm with you. The other possibility is if they want to leave, or they could do both, I guess. But if I was going to say if they wanted to leave Edge Batista off the show, one match they can do that seems naturally set up already is Big Show and Miz against Mark Henry at MVP versus, you know, based on the non-title victory.
Yeah, they could do that.
Yeah, so those are some possibilities. I guess we'll find out on Sunday which direction they go. Maybe some of you know better than we do, having had the benefit of already seeing SmackDown. But I will be doing an audio recap of the show on Sunday night, shortly after the pay-per-view concludes. That will be a .NET member exclusive audio recap. And if you are listening on iTunes and don't know how to access that, very simple. Head on over to ProWrestling.net, look for the sign-up page, and for just $5 a month, you're going to get full membership. And that will give you the first look at .NET news on the ad-free version of the site, the full access to the .NET members forum, where Rich and I and the other columnists spend a lot of time corresponding with the .NET members, and also all .NET audio, including recent interviews with former WWE creative team member Court Bauer, as well as former TNA creative team member Dutch Mantel. Again, all that for just $5 a month. So I hope you'll check it out if you're listening on iTunes or just listening to the All Access podcast here on ProWrestling.net. So until Sunday night, thanks everyone for listening. Thank you, Rich, and we'll talk to you soon.